You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
Do you know how you know someone's values? Yeah. There's two signifiers of it. What they spend their money on and what they spend their time on.
Right.
So those two things indicate the values of an individual. And I think as a couple in that dating process, the more values you have on the same page, the more you're setting it up for success.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
All right, it is Momentum once again all around Australia. Tim and Des with you for another show. As I said last week, it is a show by men, for men. And I just want to acknowledge that we also get a fair few female listeners as well, and some feedback from a lot of females around the country. And we really appreciate you tuning in. So thank you for doing that. Des, how are you this week? Are you well?
Yes, I'm always well. Even when I'm not well, I'm well. So it's all about attitude, really. And you know, we encourage men to think differently. We encourage men to do things differently. And that's the subject of our conversation today. So just by reference, our website is momentumaustralia.org. Feel free to give us some feedback, send us some questions, have a listen to the podcast. And we also have a lot of YouTube-type information there that'll help you do life better. If you want to donate to us and help this ministry stay alive, you can press the donate button on the website. And also is our care line, 1-800-000-636, which is 1-800-000-MEN, easy to remember, 7 days a week, 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night. And so, yes, it's great to be here.
Over the last couple of years on Momentum, we've talked a fair bit about relationships and explored some of the key things that can impact on relationships, and particularly on the marriage.
Last week, we had Derek Whittaker from Blue Sky Factory, BLU, on the show, and we had a great conversation. And we looked at the relationship between our life calling or our purpose and money, and we talked a lot about how God intervenes in that space. Derek's back with us again this week. I don't know why he came back, but here he is to unpack more stuff and the sometimes tricky, tense impact money has on marriage. So welcome, Derek.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Welcome back to Momentum. You did come back, so that's a good sport. We appreciate that. And for those who missed last week's show or heard it, I just want to encourage you to go to the website and have another listen, because there was a lot in last week's show, and we kind of said you gave us a machine gun spray an overview of some money things, which because it's so counter I was gonna say countercultural, but even in the church to the way of thinking that we've been conditioned to think about money and see it, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast several times, because I love listening to you, because it is so different to what, and I'm 49, what I've been taught in the church world for the last 20 odd years, and even just around my faith and how to look at money and how to do life with money. So I encourage you to go back and have a listen to that after the show. But let's talk about money in marriage. I mean, let's be honest, this is probably, I would argue, one of the big issues in marriage. I mean, I don't have stats around that, but do you think that's the case? Money is a big issue for most marriages?
My dad was a pastor for his whole career, and he would say that there were four things that were real marriage busters that came in. One of them was money. The other was in-laws.
right.
The other one was temporal values, and the other one was sex. And so those four issues were and he did a lot of marriage counseling and working with different couples. Those four things would come up a lot that have to be worked through. So money is a big one.
Okay. All right. Why do you think that money generically, and obviously we're going to unpack this, but why do you think it is that money creates or can create conflict in marriage?
I think it comes down to the heart of humanity. I mean, Jesus said to us, you cannot serve both God and money. If he said that, mammon, the spirit of mammon. And that shows the heart of humanity. Often we put our security in finances, and he goes, no, your security is in me. Finances is so temporal, it can fly away like a bird on the wings of air. But when we really get into our purpose in that, we have a lot of baggage that causes us to do that. And we mentioned last week about the Babylonian system that presents itself as a normal, a framework that a financial system that rules over people, that subjects them to hardship, operating in fractions. And God's intent is to be freedom for multiples, increase, acceleration in terms of promotion. working under the blessing, the favor of God. The Hebrew word is barak, taken from the blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. And that's just huge. We're not meant to toil. And when toiling came in was when sin entered the earth. By the sweat of your brow, you shall work for this. So we're under this fallen world system, and we've got to get back to his intention and design. And I think, one, most couples aren't aware of it, which is the issue. If you're not aware of it, you can't fix it. And two, they don't know how to step into that blessing and having the favor of God upon their life. And I think when you start putting in those kingdom principles and start operating on that, the Lord just opens up huge eyes, your eyes, and go far out. I'm so far from where I should be by his design in this other framework. And if your spouse is not on board with that, well, conflict is going to arise.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
I mean, I've gone through two marriages, and I mean, the issues weren't necessarily money, but priorities certainly are issues that we face. So just in terms of a marriage and money, what should the focus be? How should we deal with money in a family situation?
I think one of the things that really helped me is hearing one pastor explain it this way, and it really was insightful, is that as a couple, you have a destiny together that you agree upon, right? We want this for the kids. Yeah. We want this kind of home. We want this kind of... you have a destiny as a couple. But within that, you also have a destiny as an individual. And I think we don't recognize that your spouse, your wife, it's a men's show, you refer to the word wife here, your wife has a destiny that is different from yours, but there's some that you share and there's some that you agree to as well and explore yourself. So for example, my wife has allowed me to go into the stock options trading market. She has no interest in options trading, okay? It's just not her thing, okay? But she's given me the freedom to explore that and develop a business around that, etc. Her value is really about family and children. So she does homeschooling. She's a home mom. That's what she's wanted to do with her life. So we homeschool our four children, allow her to do that. She also loves music. I allowed her to, you know, honey, go, you know, she's been the worship leader in churches before and stuff like that. Allow her to do that. So she's getting fulfilled by doing these sort of explorations. I'm getting fulfilled by doing that. But then when we come together as a couple, we have a destiny together. And I think you have to recognize that. How can I bring fulfillment to that individual? And if we look at the ultimate marriage here, it's Christ and the bride, right? In terms of scripture. He has designed his bride to operate in a certain way. He woos her, he loves her. You know, some of the stuff that is you read in Song of Solomon is like full-blown, you know, PG-13 rated type stuff, you know. and you've got to look at that. He is really, his intent is the best for his bride, to prepare his bride for that time of marriage. And I think we as husbands have got to look at that and go, well, how do I fulfill my wife? If I want to be treated like a king, I've got to treat her like a queen.
Yeah.
And really go, how can I see you come to fulfillment and happiness while we share the destiny together in terms of the goals? And that everything trickles down from that when it comes to finance.
So I suppose looking at marriage generically, right? When the two of you come together in marriage, you're bringing all of your backstories to that point as well.
Yep.
Right. So let's just unpack that. And we talk about this from a relational perspective. Des, I think we've talked with Brett Ryan on Focus on the Family about this.
Yes.
The family
yes.
of origin stuff that we each bring into the marriage.
Yep. Mm.
So obviously that is then how our family did things, how we were taught, what became our normal. And now we're bringing this into the marriage together. So then let's put our perspective on money. Right, we're bringing this together.
Yeah.
So let's say we've got a man and a wife, and we have different perspectives on money, but for us it's normal because that's the way our family did it.
Yes.
And this was our family's view of money, and they were savers or they were spenders or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. How do we, I suppose, start to unwrap some of that stuff?
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to communication and recognizing what worked for my family, what worked for your family, what are the traditions that we want to carry on, but what new traditions do we want to define for us as a couple, as a new as a new unit, a new family?
Right.
And that applies to everything from Christmas to whatever. I think one of the biggest highlights where it was different for me is the first time Christy and I went grocery shopping. And she's buying certain products and I'm wanting to buy other products. I'm going, why is it that I want that other product? And it struck me. It's because mum and dad always bought that product.
Right.
That was the only reason. Right?
Right.
And I'm going, hang on a second. And I'm scratching my head as she's filling up the shopping cart with all these products that I've never done. And part of me is kind of resisting this and going, well, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I realize, you know what? It's neither right or wrong. It's just different.
Mm.
And we need to have that conversation. What is it? Now, one of the things that my wife brought into our marriage in terms of the products she buys for the house is she doesn't like chemicals in the home.
Right.
So she, in her cleaning products, doesn't buy products that have chemicals. She's all into natural cleaners and stuff like that. That was totally foreign to me.
Right.
I was like, yeah, pour the bleach down there and clean it all up and all that sort of stuff. No worries. She'll be right, mate. You know, and I think it's going, okay, it comes down to values. Do you know how you know someone's values? Yes. There's two signifiers of it, what they spend their money on and what they spend their time on.
Right.
So those two things indicate the values of an individual. And I think the, as a couple in that dating process, the more values you have on the same page, the more you're setting it up for success, right?
Right.
Because then you'll go, we will invest in what we value. We will invest in these things. So I think the preparation needs to happen prior to I do day. Yeah.
I mean, I mean, ideally, yes, right? There will be people listening now who have been married 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, whatever, and have never really had a conversation around money. They've just kind of bumbled their way through.
Yep.
And there are conflicts when it comes to money.
Yes.
How do they start to unpack some of that when it's been a dysfunctional system, I suppose, that's been in place for so long?
If you haven't had that discussion around the table growing up, it's unlikely that you're going to be discussing that beforehand. So you need to start talking about the topic and say, what do we want to build? What do we, what is our God-given purpose here? And how do we want to fund it, all right? And that's really, really important to understand. I think, too, there's a funny thing in terms of, it shows us, you know, when you know that some money's coming in, like you've received notice that, hey, you're going to get a tax refund or something like that.
Right.
In your mind, what do you start doing?
What am I going to do with it?
You start allocating those funds to this. And what's funny is that I find my wife does the same thing, right? She's starting to allocate things, etc., etc. And you realize, hang on, our allocations are different. We need to talk about what we're going to do here.
Yes. Right.
John D. Martini talks about it this way, and it comes down to values when he says, you know, if the highest value of a man is how he wants to build his career, he's going to walk through a shopping mall very differently to how his wife is, whose greatest value is the home and the family, right? So she's going to walk through and she's going to see, oh, little Johnny needs a new pair of shoes for school when school's starting up. Mary, she's going to need these education books to do this. I need to get a lunch pack for them, et cetera, right? Where the bloke is walking through, he's going, that tie looks really great in that shop. That'll help me with my job promotions. That suit, I'm going to buy Fortune magazine here. The total different spend is determined by those values. And I think as a couple, you've got to go, well, what are our values? What do we share? What do we want to do? What is the value of the kingdom of God and his purpose in our life? That's what we should be spending our funds on. We need to invest in that.
Wow.
And that's so, so important. Such an important message. And as a lesson I didn't learn when I was going through marriage, when I did what I felt I needed to do for the family. There was no, you know, let's sit down and talk about and plan what we were going to do. It was just, this is the way it is.
In your experience then, whether it's people who are looking to get married, people who are newlyweds, people who are married 30 years and need to have a conversation, obviously the key point is discuss what your priorities are and discuss, you know, I suppose what you feel led to be pursuing together as a couple, right? But when you break down those sorts of conversations and put that into natural practical things, explain that for us. I mean, obviously it's budget, it's memberships, it's health insurance, it's mortgage, it's like,
well, unpack the
what the some of the some of the things are that, that obviously there's the obvious ones, but there's other things too, I suppose, that often can get forgotten about.
Well, you know me, I could pull back and go, what's the life purpose here? What's the big picture here? And as I said last week, I can't afford my life purpose. My wallet is not big enough. So there's a lot I'm going to have to do by faith as the Holy Spirit leads. But yes, there is a practicality of, you know, of kids being clothed, food. And I've discovered as you have more children, we've got four now, there's six mouths to feed.
Yeah.
Gosh, we spend a lot of money on groceries, right? So there are those practicalities that you have to adjust in life too as the children grow older, you know, dentures and all that sort of stuff. I have a funny relationship when it comes to budget. Yes, I believe that there is that wise management of that, but then there's also the faith aspect. And for me, it's setting up my faith, my finances in such a way that I have unlimited income potential. Okay. Mm. And what I mean by that is if I have a job, I'm giving away, I can only earn, what is it, $30, $35 an hour, whatever it might be, right? I'm limited there. If I'm in sales, I probably can get commission. I can get a bit more in terms of that income, right? What you've got to assess in life, if you want to be paid more, it's not going to the boss and demanding for a pay rise, All right, that's probably the worst thing you can do. It's actually the marketplace will reward you because of the value you bring to it. So the more value you bring to the marketplace, the more it's going to pay you and reward you.
Right.
So what does that look like? If you go to your employer and say, hey, I figured out a way that we can reduce our overheads and increase our profits by 40% and reduce our overheads by 10%, would that interest you? Yes, of course. Would you give me a pay rise if I showed you how to do that? Do you think a boss will say no to that? Right? And if it works and it's practical, well, guess what? It's a well-deserved pay rise. What have they done? They've brought value to the marketplace in that instance. And so I think it's I have in my finances as much as possible set it up in such a way that I have unlimited income potential any time. So I can spend an hour on my business working and teaching students and all that, and I could be paid potentially, you know, unlimited amounts of money for that. Rather than limiting myself to I'm earning $200 an hour or whatever it might be, you know, I can potentially, make, you know, $40,000 over 20 hours, you know, and this sort of stuff, or even more, the way I've set that all up. And so what I value is my time, okay? I'm looking at and going, I don't want to trade my time away for money. I want to be being paid handsomely for what I am, and it frees me up to spend time with the kids. Why did I get into trading the stock market stuff? I want to stay at home and watch my kids grow up. That was one of my values driving that career choice, that economic decision. And so I hope that I've answered your question there, but it's understanding that as a couple going, what do we value, right? If it's time with the kids, then how do we set that up so that we can have that time with the kids and be paid handsomely when we are working to be able to do that?
Yeah, it's great. Sorry, it's really, really huge. That's so important, that message.
You mentioned a couple of key things that I want to come back, and we're going to take a short break, but I want to come back on. And you mentioned one thing about this area of, yes, a budget and a plan is good, but you also allow this for an aspect of faith within your finances.
Yeah.
And I can imagine also that that would could potentially bring conflict in a marriage, particularly if one person is very afraid about walking by faith when it comes to finances, whereas one person is very comfortable with walking. Let's come back and explore that.
Yeah.
It is momentum all around Australia. Our special guest is Derek Whittaker from Blue Sky Factory. If you want to have a quick quiz around the website at some stage, it's blueskyfactory.com.au. And a quick quiz around our website as we go to a short break. It is momentum, momentumaustralia.org. We're going to come back and chat with Derek some more in just a moment.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at momentumaustralia.org.
Alrighty, it is part two of Momentum this week, and our special guest once again, as was last week, Derek Whittaker from Blue Sky Factory, blueskyfactory.com.au. That's blue with just a B-L-U, no E, blueskyfactory.com.au. Derek has literally been blowing our minds the last couple of shows with his perspective on, firstly, life purpose and money, and this week we're talking about money and marriage. And I don't know about you, but you might have just done an internal wince when I said that, because often it is a conflict in marriage. And we've been talking through some of that. And, you know, Derek, before we went to the break, one of the things we did talk about was this idea of having a budget, having a plan. That's a good thing to do. Obviously, that's a wise and a smart thing to do. But as Christians, we leave an element of faith, perhaps, for our finances, for the Lord to move, to bless us, to bring things. And some people are really comfortable with that aspect of faith and finances. They've learnt to walk on the water and trust the Lord for certain things and go, hey, you know what? We're down to our last whatever, but it's okay. The Lord will provide. And some people get really freaked out when, you know, the petrol tank gets to half instead of empty. You know what I mean? I do. There's those mentalities. So how do we navigate those differences as a couple?
You're looking at someone who used to fear not having enough, okay? That's the journey I've been on, of running out of money. And that actually did happen to me, right?
Right.
And so it was when you actually face that fear, I mean, Job talks about what I feared come upon me. That's what I faced, right?
Right.
When you actually finally face it, you find it's not as bad as you thought it was. And God actually takes you through that.
I just want to say, I'd actually love to hear that story. We don't have time now, but we'll get you back on and you can share that story with us. Because, I mean, that would be a fascinating place to explore. Because I think some of us actually, and a lot of us in Christian circles, perhaps even have that fear.
Yeah.
I'm going to, like, what if I lost everything?
We equal security with finance, and it's wrong. Because it says, the God says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Now, the problem I was as a bloke was I felt like I had to be the provider for my wife and my children. Yes. And I used to interpret it as, my God and Derek should do a business joint venture and provide all our needs. And the Lord said to me, no, that's not what it is. It says, it's my responsibility. And when I had revelation of that, the burden just lifted off my shoulders. I go, it's not my problem anymore.
instantly I go, okay, but find the balance, because I think it's a proverb that says the lazy man mm-hmm. will actually have nothing, or, you know, there's scriptures yep. around that too. Yep. So, I mean, obviously there's a part for us to play in mm-hmm. doing some work
yep.
rather than just going, well, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and mm-hmm. expect you to just bless me.
Yep. So that's why I come back to your life purpose. What is the, as Kingdom Investors yeah. put it, or Kingdom Initiatives, what is the assignment God has put on you? You need to be doing that. So, you know, there was a time where I thought to myself, I could go, you know, we were having a bit of a cash flow issue at one point. Mm. And I love what Dave Hodgson once said to me in private one time. I said, you know, we were going through this cash flow issue. And he said, hold on, let me just hold you up on there. He said, even big corporations have cash flow issues, okay?
Right.
Because you kind of feel guilty, you know, I'm doing something wrong as a bloke. You
right.
know? So yeah. let's recognize that. Everybody has cash flow issues, right? And one of the things in terms of changing our language in our home for my wife and I is we never say we can't afford it. I heard that growing up, and that's one thing yeah. I ruled out. What we say is we're having a cash flow issue this month, and it hasn't manifest yet.
Right.
And it always comes in. And what you speak comes into existence. It's powerful when you look at how, you know, God said, you know, let there be light, light be, and there was light. And we don't understand the prophetic in the church as to how it operates and relates to our finances as well.
Right.
I'm going down a different rabbit, Warren. But let's come back to your question, which is know the state of your flocks and your herds, and that scripture is, so manage it well. What I've given you, you are to manage really, really well. As you do that, God gives increase to that. We see the one that stewarded and increased it, the talents, from 5 talents to 6 talents to 12 talents, and the 5 to the 10, and the increase. And the one who didn't, who actually buried his talent in the ground, utter darkness was his fortune. He went to hell over it. And when I saw that, that was just like, whoa. So if you don't do your life purpose, there are huge consequences if you don't. Right? So there is a kingdom perspective of increase that is expected. Faithfulness, more will be added. You're right in terms of that balance. So what I do is what I have the power and control over, I'll allocate and budget accordingly and do so. But then the stuff that I don't have power and control over, in terms of a client paying me on time, or expecting that, you know, the things that come in left field, a tax bill that you just didn't expect, you know, being higher. You know, that was me last year. Like, we'd made so much money that I'd miscalculated how much tax we needed. So I'm like, all right, Lord, we hadn't budgeted for that. Where's that money going to come in? I would see him do it time and time again, just come in at the right time. So I've done everything that I can in my own power and due diligence, trusting him.
Right.
But then in terms of that stewardship, yep, I've been faithful there. But now situations come up where it's only going to take faith to actually acquire that. So yes, I have to be able to do what I have power to do. I have to do correctly. I have to do well and manage it well and wisely.
Yeah.
So how do you balance that in a marriage setting? So that what you've talked about is your worldview, and that's great. And I love what you've just said, but you know, there's another partner involved. How do you bring that person on that journey with you?
Kicking and screaming.
Possibly.
Credit to my wife. She's married this crazy guy, right, who has these ideas. And I really believe we were a match in heaven. God assigned us because there's such an age difference between my wife and I. And she, in some ways, is more entrepreneurial than I am, right? I will procrastinate, and she'll give me a good kick in the backside and say, get on with it. Right? You know, like today, you know, one of the babies needed a nappy change. And she says, if I don't do it, it'll take forever. You'll stand there around looking at it, what should be done, and talking about it. And she knows me, and she knows how I tick. But there's been, I could not do what I do without my wife. And I think she has backed me. She has sacrificed so much for us to go on this journey. I have to give credit to her. And her thing. One of the things I do is I tell her a lot about what God shows me in my quiet times with the Lord. And I show him the revelation, the scripture he gives me, the word he gives me, how he's leading me, what I taught. We are constantly communicating back and forth and what we're discovering.
Wow, that's key.
And talking about. So we're both learning from each other. I mean, the whole COVID scenario, she was teaching me so much about health through that process and seeing things that I wasn't seeing. I was looking from the economic power, political perspective, and we would combine our knowledge together to get great outcomes that would affect our children and what decisions we would make then. We went to homeschooling with the first lockdown. We thought, right, we're going to do that and teach our children, take that responsibility in their education as well. Mm. So to me, it's always going back and forth on terms of the relationship with God. I say, hun, this is what God's showing me. What's showing you? And sometimes he'll say the same thing to us at different times, and we'll come back and compare notes, and it's confirmation that we're hearing from him.
Yeah. Wow.
He said the same things.
So essentially, I mean, the single word out of that is just communicate. Communicate between the two. And I suppose compromise if you wanted to throw something else in there as well. And let's talk about them, because when we're doing a budget, we're doing the bit that we can, right? We're looking after the bit that we can. And I wrote down some things that generally most people, I suppose, budget for, account for in their life. Obviously, spending, saving, investment, superannuation, tax, tithing, extra giving, whether it's charities, you know, passion projects, whatever, treats, luxuries, memberships, health insurance, kids' pocket money, if one partner has a child from a previous marriage or whatever, there's child support involved, you know, those sorts of things that we navigate. One thing I didn't mention was, but I'd love to get your perspective on this, when couples come together in marriage, should everything be joined? Do accounts need to be merged and blended? Is there wisdom and health in keeping things separate? What, a mix of both? What are your thoughts?
I don't think there's a one-size-fit-all answer on that one. I think it's different for every couple and situation. I'll give you some case studies on this. I know of one couple, he suffers from bipolar. And when he goes on one of his episodes, he'll hit that credit card, go spending, it freaks the wife out.
Right.
Right? And so she has to lock the credit cards away, all the codes, the bank accounts, everything, because if he hits in one of those episodes,
right,
they're in trouble. So I think for them, it's definitely she's in control of the finances,
right?
And I completely understand that situation. I've seen other situations where couples keep them separate, and you know, I have one of my clients who kind of showed me this, and she has she doesn't have to consult her husband to do my course, right, or one of my courses. She has she's been empowered to actually invest in that in herself. She wants to learn about stock options trading and stuff like that. So she's gone and paid for that on her own volition, and her husband doesn't even know she's doing that. And that's great. I've seen other scenarios where, you know, a husband's trying to hide one of the courses. He said in enrollment, I thought he was joking, don't tell my wife I'm doing this sort of thing. And I thought it was like, ha ha. Several months down the track, she discovers the credit card. We've been billing him on his credit card. He's like, he's in trouble. He has to pull out of the course, everything. And if this has secrecy, if it's layered with secrecy, there's a problem. So I can't give you a one standard answer on that. I think a couple has to discuss that openly and say, and look, when they come together in a marriage too, you know, one might be carrying debt that the other is affected by. You know, there might be an outstanding credit card that you need to be transparent about that. So there's no surprises, by the way. And, you know, I know of a situation where, you know, she thought because of the credit card she was dealing that he'd back out of the marriage. And, you know, in perspective, it really wasn't a lot of money to him, but that's the thing that she feared. And I think we've got to be transparent and honest about that.
So again, the communication piece is...
It's so key. Absolutely key.
Yeah.
Absolutely key. I don't like surprises in my finances, so I say to my wife, manage my expectations, hun. If you need $200 to go do the groceries, whatever, fine. Here's the $200. When she throws a curve, if it's $250, I'm like, oh, man, because I haven't allocated. I've allocated the funds differently. Now, it sounds like I'm tight and all that sort of stuff, and I understand it's a valid expense and stuff like that, but I just say, just, you know, if you think it, you know, so, I, you know, I'm learning, you know, if she says $200, I expect $250 or something like that, you know, and you work through that as a couple because we communicate differently.
Yeah.
And our behavior is different as well.
Yeah. It's like the what time is the dinner? It's 7 o'clock, but she says 6:30, just to make sure, or vice versa.
We blokes are very literal. We love things spelt out, whereas women, I think, communicate intuitively. So, you know, the garbage needs to be taken out. She'll say, look, the garbage needs to be taken out, and a bloke will just go, yeah, so it does. Right? We're so observational as a fact.
And do you need me to do it?
Yeah. She's implying, will you please take it out? And I think we really have got to understand that we communicate differently as men and women as well.
Okay. Let's, in the few moments that we've got left, talk about the whole tithing piece. Because obviously as we go through life as couples, right? And as you would know, being a married man, all of a sudden you've got, it's just the two of you, and then you've got a mouth to feed, then you've got two mouths to feed, and now you've got four mouths to feed. And, you know, when certain things happen or all of a sudden there's a surprise bill or whatever, often the first thing we can do is stop tithing and go, oh, I just can't afford that right now. That I'm going to pull that back.
Yeah.
Expand your thoughts around that for us. Because I mean, that's a real world problem. Like we've all had those moments where it's just suddenly gone tight. I'm like, that money that I was going to give to the church, I just feel like I really need that right now.
What's God's perspective on it? That's my thing. That's a question I have to it. I love this from Proverbs 8:18 from the Passion Translation. Ending wealth and glory come to those who discover where I dwell. Unending ending wealth. We slip into scarcity mentality. We think it's going to run out. And God's like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
You spend time in my presence, you become infused with me and more like me. We need to think like him. Our problem is we limit God by the way we think. We limit him because we think it's going to run out. He's so extravagant, Tim and Des, he's so extravagant that he uses gold instead of bitumen for roads, right?
Yeah.
You look at the actual stones that he built, Kingdom of Heaven, as described in Revelation. I've Googled all of them. They are beautiful. He's extravagant to us and for us. And yet we think in that Babylonian system and thinking, it's going to run out. There's not enough supply. He goes, there's no food shortages because my God shall supply all your needs. There's no food shortages at all. He's not affected by the price of oil and whether you can fill the tank or not this week, right? He's outside of that system. And when you become more like him, you begin to exit that system. You begin to step into the supernatural. I got frustrated with the church some years ago because I said all the Bible stories that I saw, the miracles, I thought, why are people stinking broke? Why are people sick and not healed? And why are they having so many emotional issues in terms of relationships and all this stuff? Those are the three needs of humanity where they need miracles the most. Healing, finances, and relationships, right? Because it's outside their control. And you start looking about how he does that and how he applies the supernatural to this. And I discovered, hey, we have to walk by faith. We have to walk like he does, whether it be our finances, whether we expect for healing. We've got to do it his way. And he's there. And he says, unending wealth and glory come to those who discover where I dwell. The riches of righteousness and a long, satisfying life will be given to them. It's not earned. It's given to you. Daddy God loves his kids. I don't know about you, but I love spoiling my kids, right? And doing that. How much more does our pure Heavenly Father want to do that to us? When you have relationship with him, you know, you become fearless. You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Because he's got it all. He's got it all in control.
Derek, you mentioned something about risk profile. Can you explain that for us? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a really good one. In terms of recognizing what your risk tolerance is to finance and money, we all have a different risk profile. And I think being aware of it is really, really important. I remember going to a seminar one time and the guy explained it this way in terms of, I'm thinking of his last name. I know his first name is Roy, but he was mentioning that there's like four different risk profiles that there are. There is the hare that run ahead, the entrepreneurial type that want to take risk and take it all on, you know, and run 100 miles an hour. The extreme opposite of that is a squirrel who gathers all the nuts for winter and says, there's a nut missing. We've got to find it. We've got to find it. Winter is coming, right? God help the couple where one's a hare and one is a squirrel,
right?
Okay, he's got his foot on the accelerator, she's got her foot on the brake, and this can cause huge conflict when it comes to finances. Then you've got the owl who sits in the trees and goes, hoo, ancient wisdom watches the madness. That's kind of how I trade the markets. I look at the madness of what's going on in Wall Street, the greed and the fear and all going on, swoop down off the branch to take an opportunity, a trade, take it up to the branch and get out of the market. That's kind of how the strategy I use to do that. And then there's the tortoise who thinks that he's moving very quickly, but he's actually methodically going through every process that there is and drives the hares and everyone else around him crazy because he doesn't move fast enough. And all of those risk profiles come into making up a great business. You need those different personalities for different roles and stuff. But in a marriage, you've got to recognize what is your partner and what are you? And where could the sources of conflict be in that in terms of your risk profile? So trading the markets, to some sound absolutely crazy. I've had men ring me and go, hey, can you convince my wife that I can do some options trading and stuff like that? And part of me wants to go, well, what have you done in the past that makes her nervous? You know? What have you done, buddy? I recently had one guy, you know, want to do it. And I said, I'm not doing it unless your wife is on board. Like, yeah. She is on board. Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So he went and talked to her. And then she thanked me for saying it. She actually allowed him to do it. And she says, thank you for asking that, because I was a bit concerned about some of the things that was going on. So you've got to have that tolerance to risk is really, really important. There's nothing like trading to bring out all your fears of what you have around money when you see the market swing like they do and stuff like that. So I hope that's a bit of a nugget for people to understand. What's my risk profile? Who am I married to and what's their risk profile? And then what do I have to do? What I do with couples sometimes when there is that conflict, like maybe she's a squirrel and he's the hare. I see that a lot. Mm. I say to him, what do you have to do to give her security and peace of mind that everything's okay?
Mm.
And then I say to her, what can you do for him that allows him to feel like he's getting accomplishment, living his life purpose, and he needs to pursue this sort of stuff? Where's the middle ground here that you guys can agree to? And I think that's a real nugget for couples to just have that conversation and go, what's going to give you peace of mind? What can I do? And then, okay, what can I do that allows me to feel that fulfillment that I needed to go to chase these pursuits?
On that note, let's wrap up the show. I mean, again, it's been another incredible show, and my mind is going in a million different directions as it was after last week's show with our special guest Derek Whitaker, who's just brought some completely different perspectives around finances. And this week, money and marriage. Blueskyfactory.com.au is the website. I encourage you to go and have a quiz around there. That's blueskyfactory.com.au. And of course, check out the website, momentumaustralia.org. We'll have these podcasts up from last week and this week there as well. And you can have a re-listen to these. Take a pen and paper, I think, as well, because there'll be some shifting of the gears, I think, that might need to happen or will just happen as you start listening over the last couple of weeks. Derek, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you. It's
been really encouraging and inspiring. And I'm excited for people to re-listen and have a listen to what you've just said and perhaps do things a little differently. Really a pleasure having you, man. Thank you.
Thank you for the work you guys are doing. We need it.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward with Momentum.